listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tonight after 7 is Latino USA. In this week's edition, a look at race and the role it's playing in the 2016 election campaign. That's coming up tonight after 7 here on the Ideas Network.
First, as we inch closer to Election Day next Tuesday, the candidates are making their final cases to voters before they cast their ballots. While candidates are keen to make speeches and be seen making appearances at party events, one tried-and-true method of drumming up interest is to campaign in swing states like Wisconsin.
Republican candidate Donald Trump is visiting Eau Claire today in his sixth campaign stop here in the state since the GOP convention this summer.
But while his Democratic challenger, Hillary Clinton, has sent several surrogates to Wisconsin, including an appearance by her former challenger Bernie Sanders tomorrow, she herself has not visited the state since before the April primary.
But what impact do these appearances, or lack thereof, have on voters, and how strategic do candidates have to be with their visits, with their time, especially when the campaigns are in a fever pitch leading up to Election Day?
Joining us now to talk about the impact candidates' visits can have on voters is Mike Wagner. He's an associate professor of journalism and mass communication at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Mike, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
As we mentioned earlier, Donald Trump has visited the state several times. He'll be here speaking again. And noting that, what do you see as his game plan here in Wisconsin?
Well, I think he really needs to work on consolidating the Republican base. If you look at the Marquette Law poll from nearly a month ago, Senator Johnson has almost every Republican in the state saying, yes, I'm voting for Ron Johnson. And Donald Trump does not have that same set of numbers on his side of the ledger in terms of Republicans. And so I think he keeps returning, hoping to spur more Republican support. And this time, at least in some of the reporting I've seen, he'll have some other Republicans from Wisconsin with him, which is relatively new for him when he comes to the state. So there's more of a unity sort of feel to this. And there's also a kind of a signal to Republican voters who are wayward from Trump to come home and vote for their side, I imagine, is his goal coming in to these last few days.
All right. As you said, he lost the primary here, lost it to Ted Cruz. And tonight, for the first time, it sounds like he'll have Senator Ron Johnson beside him. So do you think that will be something that will sway voters who, as you said, might be looking for a reason to come home?
I think if you're a Republican who is for Johnson and has not been for Trump yet, that kind of thing might make a difference at the margin to say, OK, well, Johnson's convinced or Governor Walker's convinced or whoever, that can matter a little bit in terms of, you know, someone you trust vouching for a candidate that you might be skeptical of. And as you point out, you know, Trump didn't win Wisconsin, neither did Hillary Clinton, for that matter, in the primaries. But she's consolidated the Democratic base in a way that he hasn't. And so he needs all the help he can get from all the surrogates he can muster in the Badger State.
We're going to get another Marquette Law School poll tomorrow, but do you have any sense about how Republicans in the state are feeling about Donald Trump? We heard a lot initially about southeastern Wisconsin and that being a particularly tough area for Donald Trump. What do you think about where we are now?
I think that's right, and I think that in these last days before the election, it's just the case that Trump is having a harder time persuading Republicans to vote for him and having a harder time persuading independents in Wisconsin to want to support him. And Wisconsin has a registration advantage for Democrats in presidential election years. And so he has to win a turnout battle, and he doesn't have a lot of campaign offices in Wisconsin, especially as compared to Hillary Clinton. And so the get out the vote operation is starting from behind, which is not the position you want to be in when you're already behind, which he has been in Wisconsin for several months.
Mike Wagner is with us right now from the UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication, and we're talking about the impact candidate visits to swing states can have on voters. And we talked about Donald Trump. Let's talk about Hillary Clinton. And on that flip side, Hillary Clinton hasn't visited the state since the primary. She was slated to visit here with Barack Obama after she clinched the nomination. Then the Pulse nightclub shooting happened and they decided to hold off, but she hasn't been back since. What does that signal to voters in the state, if anything?
Well, you know, it's unique that a major party nominee is not in Wisconsin. I think it's a signal that Donald Trump knows Wisconsin is a state he would really need to win, I think, if he wants a path to 270 electoral votes. Hillary Clinton thinks that she has Wisconsin fairly comfortably, or she would be here a lot more than she has been, which is, you know, not since the primaries. And so I think if we see a Hillary Clinton visit near the end, we could interpret that as her thinking perhaps the election has gotten closer than she would hope, or perhaps she's on a swing through other areas and wanted to stop to at least have one visit to make sure that she was exciting the base to help promote them to turn out.
So early on, before we were where we are today, there was a lot of talk about the importance that Wisconsin could have as a swing state. And it seems as though during the course of the election, that image of Wisconsin as a swing state cooled off. Do you get the sense that maybe we are a little more swingy right now?
I don't know that the state is more swingy. The polls that I've seen all suggest a lead for Hillary Clinton. Clinton has a lead in terms of kind of the fundamentals of elections in Wisconsin. The president is pretty popular in Wisconsin, which helps candidates in an open seat election like we have now. And so Clinton's strategy seems to be a sensible one, given the kind of the lay of the land in the state. You know, it's possible that some Wisconsinites could say, well, gee, I'd sure like the nominee to come visit our state. But it's hard to imagine a Democrat saying, you know what, she never came to visit, I'm not voting for her.
And she's got her surrogates who have been here. We've seen Chelsea Clinton a couple times. Bernie Sanders will be here again tomorrow.
Right.
Do you think that is enough? I mean, after all, she did it, as you pointed out, she lost the primary to Bernie Sanders in Wisconsin. Maybe Democratic faithful would rather see Bernie Sanders in Wisconsin but still vote for Hillary Clinton.
I think it would be more exciting for the more liberal Democratic voters to see Sanders come and endorse Hillary Clinton than perhaps seeing Clinton herself. And it's also the case, yes, with Chelsea Clinton, who might appeal to younger voters, and of course the number two on the ticket, Tim Kaine, also coming. It's not like Hillary Clinton's ignoring Wisconsin, but she hasn't visited in the general election, and she's not airing nearly as many ads here. Wisconsin is one of the few states where Donald Trump has an advantage in the number of ads he's aired his campaign as compared to hers.
What does that tell you about the campaigns themselves if you just look specifically at the advertising buys?
First, Clinton was much more strategic in terms of when she bought. It's usually cheaper to buy ads early, even if you want to play them later, and she did that around the country and saved a lot of money doing that. A lot of the money that's coming in now is more expensive to purchase. And so, you know, you see a lot of stories saying Donald Trump is spending lots of money on ads, but he's spending more per ad than Clinton had to when she made her buys a long time ago. And so I think she was more strategic with how she spent her money and is getting a more bigger bang for her buck in terms of her advertising dollar.
We're talking with Mike Wagner right now. He's an associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And he's with us to talk about the impact candidate visits to swing states can have on voters.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is it important that presidential candidates visit the state? Are you more inclined to vote for a candidate if they swing through your home state? And are you swayable at this point? Have you already voted? If you haven't, are you still up for grabs? What would sway you one way or another? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue our conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're continuing our conversation about how much of an impact a presidential candidate's visit can have on voters, especially in swing states like Wisconsin.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you appreciate candidate visits to your home state? Why? If not, what would you prefer the candidates do to get your vote? What are you still looking for from them? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we're continuing our conversation with Mike Wagner. He's an associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And Mike, talking about some breaking news as of Friday, that is, Clinton's campaign taking the impact from news that broke last Friday that the FBI is looking into her emails after it found what it calls relevant emails in an unrelated investigation. Hillary Clinton gave a brief news conference about this last week where she did call on the FBI to address these emails quickly and transparently. How would you gauge how this could be affecting her campaign and the race in general?
Well, I think that for people who've made their decision and for people who, you know, either like Hillary Clinton or don't like Hillary Clinton all this information does is reinforce their pre-existing attitudes. If you don't like Clinton, this is just another example that the scandals are never going to end in your view. And if you like Clinton, it's just another example of how an unrelated investigation leads to something where there's never a charge and never a guilty finding and just another scandal. For people who are in the middle, since it's about something we've already heard a ton about, and since it's really confusing, how many emails are we talking about? Whose emails are they? Why do we care about them? What might be in them? She didn't seem to send them. She didn't seem to receive them. I don't know that this is something that sways voters. It's not really new information. It's more of the same without giving us any kind of clear-cut resolution that we can hang our hat on to make a decision if you're somebody who's on the fence.
It is close to election day, but it seems that the presidential election runs in cycles. So we just had a really big cycle looking at allegations of sexual harassment with Donald Trump, and that was a conversation for a long time. And now it seems as though this is the cycle, looking at the email conversation again, has unexpectedly flared up. So going into election, I mean, as part of it, and this is something that 538.com has talked about, is it just the disadvantage for the candidate who has the negative story in the news right before election?
I think if the election is really close, that's possible, because any movement in a half a percentage point one way or the other could really affect the outcome. Right now, most aggregated pollsters who look at a wide variety of polls and come up with some kind of average have Clinton up somewhere between 3 and 7 points, depending upon which of the aggregators you like best. Those are fairly comfortable leads, and in some cases, we would think of a Trump comeback as nearly historic, given how far he was behind just a week ago.
Let's take a caller now. We have Josiah with us in Fort Atkinson. Josiah, hi.
Hi. About your question, I think it doesn't really matter that a candidate visit our state, because, first of all, they're going to run their program no matter what, and giving the state extra attention in the campaign doesn't exactly mean that it'll give extra attention during their term in office, as well as I think a lot of the aesthetics to be able to see the candidate in our state is more of a celebrity thing rather than actually hearing some concrete evidence, as previously pointed out.
Thank you so much for your thoughts. Appreciate that. Just I was saying, it doesn't matter that much. Just because they're here doesn't mean they're going to be especially looking out for Wisconsin. Obviously, they have a whole nation to govern. What do you think about that?
Well, there is a little bit of evidence that presidents think about swing states a little bit more under particular circumstances when they're governing. And one of those is, for example, disaster relief. And, you know, this seems like almost an amazing and almost depressing research finding, but that in states where they're up for grabs, usually in presidential election seasons, presidents are quicker to declare disasters after tornadoes, hurricanes, things like that. And so presidents do give a little bit of extra attention. They often try to court the lawmakers from those states, give them rides on Air Force One, but not just that kind of stuff, but also working on policies that those folks care about. There's a little bit of evidence to that, but I think the caller is right. The president is the president of everybody, not the president of just Wisconsin or just the swing states. And so these visits aren't, I don't know that they're persuading voters. They probably are reminding early voters, get to the polls and bank them. The candidates are very aggressive about doing that in early voting states like ours. And so there are some effects, but I think the caller is on to quite a bit in his comments.
Josiah, thanks a lot. And we're going to move next to Joe, joining us from Menasha. Joe, hi.
Yeah, so I don't mean to like toot my own horn here, but I feel a little bit like I'm stuck in the Yeats poem, The Second Coming. You know, best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. I don't even know what to think anymore. I mean, this thing has become so offensive to me. Trump has denuded the election process of all decency and sometimes common sense, not to mention facts, while Hillary just is the most unappealing person to run for president since I can't remember. And so I like Hillary's ideas and her intellect, but personally, she just seems to not have any political instinct at all, and so she gets torn apart for it.
And Joe, let me ask you before we let you go, are you still going to vote given all that?
Oh, I'm going to vote. I mean, it's critical that we vote. I think we're making a very distinct differential in the decision here. I mean, there are huge differences between these two. and I'll probably vote for Hillary just because, I mean, it's not a popularity contest at the end of the day. This
Joe, thank you so much. I want to make sure our guest Mike can weigh in on this. And Mike, I love that he quoted Yates. He's really feeling it. That was soulful.
Well,
he really doesn't understand what
this
election is about.
I think Joe is articulating what a lot of undecided voters feel, which is disgust toward Donald Trump, but not quite liking Hillary Clinton for one reason or another. And that is a place where people see themselves. And in that sort of environment, we would expect Clinton to have a small lead. And that's what she has.
All right. And Mike, you know, looking ahead just briefly, what do you think about where we stand? So we're a week out. It used to be the October surprise was the big surprise. Now we have these emails and no one can call this election cycle. It seems like it's uncallable. But do you think that there could still be significant movement in the last week of the election? And if so, what kind of bellwethers are you looking for, just briefly?
Well, I think we should expect the election to get a little bit closer. It tends to whenever we approach Election Day. We should expect partisans who are wavering to be more likely to vote for their party than the other party. So we should certainly look to see if Trump is able to consolidate his voters. I think those are places to look. But, you know, 2 years or 4 years ago, excuse me, Barack Obama was up less than one percentage point in most of the aggregate polls. Hillary Clinton's up by far more than that now. Obama won fairly comfortably. And so while on the one hand it's been a wild year, on the other hand, Clinton is leading in the fundamentals fairly comfortably despite some negative news cycles.
And what's your best guess about how much Wisconsin will matter?
I think that Wisconsin is less of a swing state than it has been in years past. I think we're seeing that in the lack of attention in terms of advertising from the Clinton campaign and the, you know, comparatively little advertising we've seen overall. And I think we've seen that in terms of just the lack of visits. Even Trump has spent less than 10% of his time here since the Republican National Convention. And this is a state he really needs to win. So I think Wisconsin, if Wisconsin gets really, really close, that's a sign that the election has gotten really, really close. And so I think we'll all be watching that Marquette Law poll tomorrow.
Mike, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
That was Mike Wagner, an associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And he joined us there to talk about candidate visits to swing states and how these visits influence, maybe the absence, how they affect voters.